And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a quick opening night edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. We will likely do a Warriors plus minus Thursday where we will get deep and denser into bigger picture thoughts. But right now we're just talking Warriors Suns. We had a basketball game that I thought was a little bit choppy, but was a good competitive game on opening night. Warriors lose 108-104. They got crunched in the first half. I think they were down 15 at half. It was really bad late in the quarter. But then a 40-19 third quarter, they go way ahead. They blow it in the fourth. Many places to go. Tim Kawakami, Marcus Thompson, what is like topic one on your minds?
I looked this up. The last time they've taken 100 shots and shot that low percentage was 2010.
It's like 100 shots is hard to get.
It's a lot of shots, and they only shot 35%. So, I mean, it was a historically bad
101 shots.
It was a historically bad shooting night for the Warriors. Which, you know, if you're putting the Steph Curry color glasses on, where he's trying to clearly shift the narrative, and I know people are gonna say, "I'm like, dude, what? It's been 10 minutes. What are people going to say?" But
Charles Barkley did call them cooked at halftime of the game, so maybe he's referring to that. Steph Curry, 4 of 14 from 3. Chris Paul, 0 of 6 from 3. Andrew Wiggins, 0 of 3 from 3. Klay Thompson, 3 of 11. The team, 10 of 43, 23% from 3.
43 threes. That's a lot of threes to put up there. And they were missing threes.
Shots. It's about.
Well, and they were missing short ones too, by the way. They were not good around the rim. But it was a good game. They were getting two shots. I think the story for me, I'm not writing it because Marcus Thompson's writing about this, but I thought Chris Paul looked really good. I mean, the shots weren't going. There was obviously some frustration there, but otherwise, he looked like a natural out there with the Warriors. Like, he looked like this is what he's going to do.
That was so clear to me. Like, to me, I'm looking at that like, it doesn't matter if he's starting or not. He's playing 30 plus minutes. Like, Steve is already like, "Chris, get in here, security blanket, let's go."
Rick Celebrini's like, "Chris, get out of here. Come over here, Chris. Back to back next week."
He's already, and you know how Steve is, right? He doesn't like to turn over. He just feels comfortable with Chris Paul the ball in his hands. That's so obvious off game one. Like,
I asked both him and Steph about this just now, and it was just such a play in the first half. It got scrambly, the ball. Warriors are kicking the ball around. I think it was their turnover went right to a Phoenix turnover. They get the ball back. It's like frantic, Moody and Kuminga maybe. And the ball bounced to Paul, and he just gets it at half court. And you can just see his facial gesture like, "Would you guys just calm down?" He stopped the ball, like kind of held it in his hands, said, "Hey, now we're going to run something." And they did run something. I forget whether it was successful or not.
And Steve Kerr had tears in his eyes on the side.
They brought him in there. Exactly what they want to see. And you know, just get us calmed down where, you know, that didn't happen. You know, sometimes it didn't happen when Steph was on the floor. It definitely didn't happen when Steph was off the floor. It just is the other guy. Steph gets in foul trouble. Guess what? Chris Paul can up his minutes. They probably were setting him up to play 28. He plays 34. And he closes clear. He starts and he closes. And as we were saying last, he's going to close games. Like, this guy is going to close games because that's who Steve Kerr wants with the ball.
They actually do need to watch some minute totals, but that's a story for another day. I think so the rotation, which Chris Weems now does the rotation, he took it over from Chama Malaleva, who is gone, and the script was clearly Chris Paul leaves at the 7-minute mark, you know, starts but leaves early, right? After 5 minutes, 7-minute mark of the first and third quarter. He came out initially in the third quarter when he was expected to, 7-minute mark, but Steph Curry had just picked up his fourth foul. So he stays in there and he saves the game. You know, I know they end up losing, but if they did win this, the story would have been Chris Paul in that third quarter stretch saving the game, which included mid-range jumper, a couple of and-ones. Remember when he gets by Nurkic? This is when he did the bait foul when they were in the bonus on Booker, which I think everyone in the organization was cracking up about. And that's when he got the CP3 chance from the Warriors fans. And to me, the stat that is the most encouraging in a night of bad shooting and a loss from the Warriors, but the stat that is the most encouraging is Stephen Curry was a -9 tonight in a game that they lost by 4. So they were +5 with Steph Curry off the floor. That's why they got Chris Paul, right?
Yeah.
Just be a net 0 or a +5 against the Suns with Steph Curry off the floor. They don't do that last year.
No, the formula usually is Steph has to be +6 or better for them to win. And if so they have the chance to win, maybe should have won, whatever. There were some ups and downs there for him being that low is encouraging because Chris Paul. And I thought at that moment, I thought they both were coming out. I thought they would have had to. Like, I just didn't think Chris Paul's going to play 34 minutes. I knew he was going to close. It was time for him to come out, and Steph gets the foul. So now you both had to come.
Steve is already in mid-season form. I cannot play without one of them on the court.
Corey Joseph. Let's go. Corey Joseph.
He looked at it. It's Corey Joseph. Chris Paul, get back in the game.
Corey Joseph, by the way, 3 minutes, 42 seconds, -12. Was kind of an unnecessary.
And not playing the second half.
Was kind of an unnecessary aspect of the rotation tonight. Although, 1 assist, 0 turnovers. They like
Warriors
that.
Did not turn the ball over tonight, by the way. That's
11.
And that's 4 in the first half, even when they're playing poorly. This is how you stay in games when you play poorly, is you don't get crazy. And I think we should also say, Jonathan Kuminga closed the game at small forward. And Marcus Thompson over Andrew Wiggins. Thinking maybe someone else. Now, we'll see. It's gonna change. But Wiggins did not play a good game.
Well, let's be honest about it. It's about Wiggins tonight. To me, Kuminga really wasn't that great. He had 3 fouls early. He was kind of like he was a little scattered.
No, I thought he was.
I agree with that. I think it was the right choice. I think he was playing better than Wiggins. But I'm just saying it wasn't one of those nights where you're like, wow, Kuminga, you have to close. Find somebody. I think he closed with Kuminga because of how, low energy that Andrew Wiggins not only was playing tonight, like kind of his preseason too.
And Steve kind of discussed that. It's he's not at his best right now, which, hey, you kind of want that. But I also think Kuminga played good D on Durant. And Booker. We know GP2, we can talk about it. GP2 did the best job on Booker because Booker was cooking people. But when GP2 wasn't in the game, because he's not going to play 40 minutes, even against when Booker and Durant are out there, and Kuminga guarded them both at times, and he was fine. He was getting fouls, but it wasn't really in that action.
He wasn't out of his depth.
No, it was just, I'm there. I'm going to put my hand up in him, and I'm tall, I'm physical. And I think that, Kerr's answer when I asked him specifically why Kuminga played to finish, it was he and GP2 played good defense. That was good defense. And, he wasn't going to address, not probably specifically why Wiggins didn't play, but the fact that Wiggins is defensive, that's what he's supposed to be. He's their second best defensive player, maybe behind on the wings behind GP2 and the best starter on the wings.
Be honest about it. Two playoffs ago, he was the best winging defensively in the league.
The fact that Kuminga's playing over him is, Steve's explanation because of the defense is pretty interesting, but it's also everything else. They had a hard time scoring, well, the shots weren't going, and Wiggins wasn't doing much.
Wiggins was a -22, game worst, -22 in 27 minutes. He had 0 defensive rebounds in a game that the Suns had, 17 offensive rebounds. When Andrew Wiggins is at his fiercest, when he won this team a title, basically, right? He was probably the second best player in that playoff run. He rebounded like crazy. Remember, it was 14 rebounds, 15. And he was locked into his assignment, the Luka assignment, the Jason Tatum assignment. Right now, and it's game one of the season's preseason, he's clearly easing into it. But, right now, the defense just has not been up to elite wing level, and the rebounding is light. And,
scoring is not there.
He has the history of that playoffs that has proven he can do it, but he also has the Minnesota history where he shows he can float in and out as a rebounder and as a defender.
You know what's crazy is even though Kuminga closed over him tonight, if Kuminga wasn't playing well, it might have been GP2. It might have been Moody. He might have been the fourth option tonight at the wing.
It's interesting that Clay was out there fighting and wasn't shooting the ball well, but he's
might have been sorry.
I, yeah, I, 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 Yeah, I've brought him up. I think Steve likes to lean towards Clay. He's just Clay's. I get it. He's a reliable. He spaces the floor, and he's going to get hot. You know, every other game or two out of every five games, whatever. And Wiggins was a good call by MJ. Like, there's if he's not bringing it, then he doesn't. Like, you need somebody who's going to do stuff, and Kuminga's going to do stuff. GP2's going to do stuff. Those are the first two choices. And Moody, I think Moody should just be Clay's backup. Just like that's his job. He played a second unit shooting.
He might
guard.
Need more minutes than just Clay's backup, yeah, though. Yeah, I mean, when he plays like a tonight, yeah, you know what I mean?
With some minutes at three. But like, if you just say, we are guaranteeing you 12 minutes a night at shooting guard, that's it. You are playing those minutes when Clay's off the floor. That's, he can expand that. And he did not get promised that. He didn't get that last season. I think you can just build that, give him 18 minutes, 12 behind Clay, 6 at small forward. I think he deserves that. And that's what, again, we're talking about this deep, deep team. There's going to be options. There's going to be nights when, every one of them, every one of these guys, except for Steph, is going to have, and Draymond, is going to have nights when they're not closing, probably, and it's very.
I think there's nights Draymond's also. No, yeah. But I mean there'll be nights. Yeah. Paul probably yeah. won't too. Yeah. I think Steph is like the only like guarantee, right?
Match, yeah. If it's even extreme matchups, he's gonna close.
Yeah, I think he's probably the only one that you can just like lock in.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I mean, anything specifically
Clay
else?
Opening up defending Durant was really interesting. I just didn't think that was going to happen. Kerr has been talking about Clay is going to have to play, defend the power forward when they're playing Chris Paul, especially. That's the way he stays on the floor. It gets his regular minutes because this is a different kind of team, especially with CP3s out there. I thought he played him really good. Like, he leaned on him. He stayed. He put his hand in his face. It's not the only reason that KD had a struggling night shooting the ball, but it was part of it. I thought he was big. I thought he was he competed, and it's exactly what he has to do on a night when he's not scoring, and I don't think he was rebounding much either. But, man, just be out there and compete with a 6'11 assassin, that's not bad. And it's a credit to him that he is evolving his game to this point.
One of the things that kind of reared its head, which is part of this whole rotation topic, is like they're going to have a problem defending stars. Like it's just going to be a problem. Unless, obviously, like you say, Wiggins has shown he had the capacity.
It's got to be him.
It kind of does though, right? Does, or GP2. Yeah. I mean, GP2 was not good offensively tonight. He missed finishes. He airballed 1-3. And that's the difficulty with that. He tried to dunk on
Eubanks.
It was a reach of a dunk, but that's the problem when that's your best defender. Like, they just couldn't do anything with Book. They're doubling and all this cutting is happening. Guys are getting open shots. They're going to have a tough time. They got to figure out how they're going to guard people. And to me, that's where, like, Draymond is everything, because the reads, do they get that role where in the middle of the lane, if that's Draymond there, he's reading that play. He's reading the dump off. Like, their defense, it got better, like when they went to the guys who like scrappy play defense, but it's got to be their starting, their six guys.
Yeah, that's
where they have to play better.
That's where you have CP3, Steph, and Clay. We've talked about it. Like they're going to play a ton of minutes together. Might not start, but they're going to close. They're going to play, you know, in the middle of games, and they've got issues. That three has defensive issues. Just the size, you know, speed. There's just that's going to happen. Phoenix didn't even have Bradley Beal, by the way.
Yeah.
And other teams have three really good offensive players, and there's going to be some issues, but they're going to close with them. Like, this is what they're determined to do, and I understand. You look at CP3 out there, you go, yeah, he should close. They're just going to have different weird little pieces to work with that. And you know, I do think they have options. Like, it's different than when you don't have options. They do have Kuminga they can put out there. They do have GP2 they can put out there. They do have Moody they can put out there. That's better than they had last season, and they didn't feel like they could play Kuminga all the time.
Interesting part, they did have all those dudes last year.
Well, GP2, not really.
They didn't have towards the end, but
yeah, yeah, I mean,
they were going with Anthony Lamb and
Ty Jerome.
Well, I mean, you got to run, like, this time last year, it was like JaMychal Green, James Wiseman, like, they're. By the way, in hindsight.
Kuminga wasn't this kind. You know, he wasn't this good. I mean, things have evolved. But they do have options. It's just the thing is they have options. They don't have five. They don't have a five thing, five guys. Like, this is it. I mean, the starting lineup is very good. But I think with Paul, they're going to put him in there, and it's going to change. It's going to alter things. They're going to have to keep adjusting. This is going to be a Steve Kerr adjustment. It's going to be a rotation kind of season, fellas, and that's putting me in the spotlight. I love it.
It is. I do think on most nights, I'm kind of getting the feeling that they're going to ride with the five that doesn't include Looney. We'll see how, like, you could see it tonight.
Draymond gives them more options because obviously you play them up big. They had no other. They had to play Looney to close, or Saric, because they had no one else. But they weren't even playing power forward.
So. Nate Duncan has mentioned this a couple times. We talked about it on the episode we did after the preseason thing. But you could see it tonight. Chris Paul and Kevon Looney are not a good offensive pairing because Chris Paul needs typically a center who can roll and finish. And Draymond and him are probably going to have maybe a similar issues, but Draymond's just got a little bit more juice, a little bit more, you know, quick passing ability, even a little bit better finishing ability just with speed. And that's where I think the thorniness of the mix and matches is, because, like, you saw it tonight. Remember the Looney play? I think it was Steph that passed it to him, but late, where it was like another one of those kind of pump fake pass out type things.
That's why Saric had a real tough time finishing. But as a pick and popper, as somebody who can cat the pass and then make another pass, he's more compatible.
He missed a lot of shots. He kept going.
Yeah,
he's a bit of a gunner.
You could tell he's just an upgrade over that JaMychal Green spot already.
slightly. But Looney's going to be tough because Looney's going to get the ball and he's going to stop. Right? That's no fault of his own. It's just who he is. He's going to be the pick and roll guy who just stops, and then you're in more trouble. You know, this is worse than it would have been if you didn't make that pass. So, I mean, there's just so many little pieces, and you're trying to convince me to write now. I'm like, I was ready not to write tonight. Like, this is really interesting stuff, but it's going to be interesting throughout the season. I'm not writing tonight. That's it.
1 of 82. Wait, which, by the way, we did a podcast after 1 of 82. And
all 82. We still might do all 82.
It's still
all
possible.
Which one of you is going to be in Sacramento on Friday?
Marty, I'll be there.
Okay. Which one of you is going to be in Houston on Sunday? New Orleans Monday? New Orleans, Will Guillory?
Kelly Eco, it's all working.
Then we got Oklahoma City.
I feel like I just heard Slater commit to 82 games, 82 podcasts this year. I feel like that's what you said.
He can say it right now.
Well, we're at 17 minutes on this podcast. We need to get out of here because I got to ride. We got you a quick one tonight. We'll see. Friday. By the way, Friday, Sacramento, that's going to be a great crowd. That's going to be a good game.
They don't want to go in, too.
I should mention, this is a really difficult open to the season. They're 7 of their next 8 are on the road. 8 of their next 8, technically, are in different cities. At Sacramento, at Houston, at New Orleans, back home against the Kings, at Oklahoma City, at Cleveland, at Detroit, at Denver. Two back-to-backs thrown in the middle of that. You end this long, you know, tough stretch in Denver. Like, you know,
saying 5-4 would be a good record. I don't know if they're going to get this was one that was a kind of a bubble game, So maybe 4-5. I think 4-5 would be okay. I thought that going in, but I thought 5-4.
It'll look bad because 4-5 looks bad, but I don't think it would be a disaster if they're 4-5.
And they have with 7 of their road games already done. They're going to play well here. That third quarter was who they are in this building. They didn't win because Booker was fantastic, and there were other reasons. But they're going to win a lot of games here. Maybe not 33 of them like last season, but they're going to win a lot 30? Of games. Yeah, I have them for 30. I have them for 30 home games, maybe 20 road games. That gets you to 50. Maybe not 20 road games. Right, it's going to be right in there. That gets you to 48, 49, 50.
The one thing I will say, I think early in the season, they're going to kind of attack even these back-to-backs. Like, I'd be surprised if I don't expect any type of mass rest on the New Orleans game necessarily. Like, you know, I do think they need to.
They're going to need to win that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I do think they'll pair the Chris Paul minutes. I don't expect to see 34 minutes on both sides of a back-to-back, but. They're going to go after these games. Whereas last year, even early in the season, they two New Orleans back-to-backs. They rested, they mass rested in both of them. And the league will not allow that this year.
They created that rule just for the Warriors in New Orleans.
Clippers a little bit.
Maybe. 4-5. I'm saying, I mean, we're going to do another mini podcast in between that, but I think 4-5 would not be a terrible way to end up that 9-game season. Then they win that. They got, what, 6 straight at home? You're going to go 5-1, and all of a sudden you're 9-6, and you're just fine.
All right, we will talk to you maybe Friday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.